Welcome all to this Pharmacology Difficult podcast, and today we are going to start again with the topic excretion or elimination, and this is the third part of general pharmacology. We should know the major route for excretion is kidney and the different processes involved in the process of excretion are glomerular filtration, then tubular reabsorption and tubular secretion. These are the three major things that we need to know about. So all these different processes depend upon different factors. Like glomerular filtration, it depends upon plasma protein binding and also the circulation of the kidney, that is the renal blood flow. So it is totally not dependent upon the lipid solubility. It's totally free or independent from lipid solubility, because all the substances, water soluble, lipid soluble, any kind, they can pass through the glomerular membrane. Now coming over to the second process, that is tubular reabsorption. This, yes, it depends upon the lipid solubility. And the more the drug will be lipid soluble, the more it will be reabsorbed. And less it will be excreted. And so is opposite is also perfectly true. So, the ionized drug will be excreted by the kidney. Suppose there occurs acidic drug poisoning. What kind of acidic drug poisoning? Barbiturate poisoning, salicylate poisoning, or methotrexate poisoning. Then what should we do? In such cases, the alkalinization of the urine should be done. And that should be done with sodium bicarbonate. And then what happens? The weak acids, they are ionized in the alkaline urine and they can be easily excreted, and that will help in the poisoning. That is also true for the basic drug poisoning. Basic drug poisoning can be of amphetamines, it can be of morphine. Then we have to acidify the urine so that the weak bases can be easily ionized and they are excreted in the urine. Now, acidification of the urine is done with the help of ammonium chloride. That is all about the tubular reabsorption you need to know. Coming and jumping over to tubular secretion, it is totally independent of plasma protein binding. It is totally independent of lipid solubility. And what is the basic mechanism about tubular secretion? They are separate pumps. Pumps that are found for acidic drugs and separate pumps for the basic drugs. So sometimes what happens, the transporter can be same for one particular or two or more drugs, and then there will be interactions. Drug interactions will be shown. One of the very good example is probenecid decreases the excretion of penicillin and it increases the excretion of uric acid because of the same transporters. So, and one particular concept, what you need to keep in mind, the exogenous substances like penicillin, they will remove from the body, while endogenous substances like uric acid, that is inside the body, that will be definitely in an effort to be retained by these pumps, because exogenous things will be excreted out and endogenous substances will be the effort will be made by the pumps to retain them. Now, coming over to the next important topic, that is kinetics of elimination. What do we need to know? Some important points we need to know in kinetics of elimination. To know about the rate of elimination. Rate of elimination is the amount of drug excreted or eliminated per unit time. And the rate of elimination, it has a proper formula. The amount of drug entering the organ per unit time minus the amount of drug leaving that particular organ in per unit time. That is the rate of elimination of a particular organ. The drug entering in unit time minus the drug leaving the organ in unit time. So, rate of elimination is equal to CA, that is the drug entering per unit time, minus CV per unit time. And this subtraction, whatever the result comes, it can be multiplied with the rate of flow of the blood to that particular organ, and that will give the whole rate of elimination. That is very important. Then next term we need to know, that is clearance. Clearance is also a very important term. The clearance is the amount of the plasma totally cleared off a drug per unit time. The amount of plasma completely cleared off a drug per unit time. And the formula for the clearance is equal to rate of elimination upon the plasma concentration. I repeat, the clearance is equal to rate of elimination upon the plasma concentration. Rate of elimination is equal to the rate of the blood flow to that organ into the whole result obtained by the drug amount entering that organ in unit time. So, this clearance, it depends upon the rate of flow of the blood to that particular organ and also the extraction ratio of that organ. Now, that is all the particular terms, formulas, and some of the calculations you need to know. Now, next important thing which we need to know or we'll go to is order of the kinetics. There can be two orders. Drugs can follow zero order kinetics. Drugs can follow first order kinetics. Now, what is the formula for these order of the kinetics that we should know? Rate of elimination is directly proportional to the plasma concentration raised to the power of the order. So, anything raised to the power 0 is equal to 1. So, rate of elimination will be constant in the zero order kinetics. That is, it is independent of the plasma concentration and it is constant. And if it is proportional to plasma concentration, suppose the order is not zero, then definitely it can be other order, that is first order kinetics. So we can have some differences of the first and the zero order kinetics. First of all, the first order kinetics, a constant fraction of the drug is eliminated per unit time. First starts from F and fraction also starts from F. So that is how you can remember. Constant fraction of the drug is eliminated per unit time in zero order. Constant amount of drug is eliminated per unit time. Second important difference, the rate of elimination is proportional to the plasma concentration in the first order kinetics, while the rate of elimination is not dependent upon the plasma concentration in the zero order kinetics. It is independent, it is constant. Then the third important difference, the clearance remains constant in the first order kinetics, while the clearance is more at the low concentrations and less at the high concentrations in the zero order kinetics. So it is not constant. It keeps on changing with the concentration of the drug. Then again, next important difference, the half-life remains constant in the first order kinetics. And in the zero order kinetics, it is directly proportional to the concentration of the drug. If the concentration of drug is low, then the half-life is also less. If the concentration of the drug is more, then the half-life is more. And next important difference, most of the drugs, they are following the first order kinetics. And any drug at high concentration, when the pathway, elimination pathway is totally saturated, then it may show the zero order kinetics. So that is an important thing you should know. That is, drug may switch from first order to zero order kinetics. So there are few drugs which always show zero order kinetics: alcohol, warfarin, and phenytoin. And some also, amongst these, some switch from first to zero order kinetics at high concentrations. Now, next important term you need to know about is half-life. The half-life is the time required to reduce the plasma concentration of a drug to half of the original value. See, if there is a speedy metabolism is going on, then half-life is less, and it is oppositely true. So, it can be derived from a formula. T half is equal to 0.693 into volume of distribution upon clearance. So, it depends upon volume of distribution. It also depends upon the clearance. Now, if the drug is following the first order kinetics, the half-life is constant. That can be true for both the rising plasma concentration and the falling plasma concentration. So, next thing you need to know is about the steady state. What about the steady state we need to know? What is steady state? When we give a fixed amount of drug in fixed or regular intervals, then the plasma concentration of the drug starts increasing. plasma concentration rises, the rate of elimination also starts increasing. Now, when the rate of the administration of the drug is equal to the rate of elimination of the drug, then this state is known as a steady state. Again, I repeat, the rate of administration of the drug is equal to the rate of elimination of that drug. They become equal. Then that state of steady state is achieved. Now, T half is the time taken to reach the steady state. How many T halves are required? 5 T halves. 4 to 5 T halves are actually required to reach the steady state. And this steady state depends upon the dose rate. Now, coming over to the next important point, that is two-dose strategy. When the drug is having high volume of distribution, you remembered I talked about the loading dose. So, first of all, when a drug is having very high volume of distribution, a loading dose, that is a high, large dose, is administered to attain the steady state quickly. And then later on, a maintenance dose is given. That is a smaller dose, so that the drug dose or the drug concentration is maintained. So, loading dose formula is volume of distribution into target plasma concentration, and maintenance dose formula is clearance into target plasma concentration. So, the loading dose depends upon the volume of distribution, and the maintenance dose, it depends upon the clearance. That should be very, very clear in mind. Next important thing we're going to talk about is a therapeutic drug monitoring. Now, when the drug adjusts, it's according to the plasma concentration, but this process is by therapeutic drug monitoring. So, therapeutic drug monitoring is a process by which the dose of the drug is adjusted according to its plasma concentration. So, there should be a very good relationship or known relationship between the serum level and the drug response or the drug toxicity for a particular drug. Then only we can have a good knowledge of TDM. TDM is very useful for the drugs when there is a lot of variation in the pharmacokinetics for that drug. It can be intra-individually variation or it can be inter-individual variation. And especially when a drug is not very safe, it has a low therapeutic index like digitalis, tricyclic antidepressants, theophylline, aminoglycosides, anti-epileptics, immunomodulators, and then also this TDM is done for such kind of drugs. Then you can also do TDM for drugs whose effect is not very feasible or it is not easily measured. Like what are the drugs whose effect can be easily measured? Hypertensive drugs. Their effect can be easily monitored or measured by knowing the blood pressure. So we don't need to do TDM for such kind of drugs. Whenever it is not easily measured, the response is not known, then you should do TDM. So TDM is not again indicated for anti-diabetics, anti-coagulants. So these can also be known by a particular parameter. So there is no need of doing TDM for such kind of drugs. So for what kind of drugs do we need TDM? Antidepressants, lithium, digitalis. So that's all about the elimination or excretion. And with that, we finish the pharmacokinetics part. You remember pharmacokinetics was ADME study, absorption, distribution, metabolism and excretion. We have covered the most important key points, the highlight points of all these things, and we have reached one major important standpoint in this chapter of general pharmacology, that is the completion of pharmacokinetics. Now in the next, we will be starting up with pharmacodynamics. That will be in the next episode.